Good morning, church. Just have a look around. That's great sitting up the front because I don't get distracted by anything, but then I like to see who's here. I like to know stuff. Oh, it's good. God is good. There are so many thoughts going around in my head right now. There's a lot of thoughts going around in my head. God's been speaking to us already. And one thing I'd really encourage you to do is talk to each other about the things of God during the week. Talk to each other, send each other a message. If God puts something on your heart that you might think is just for you, I'd encourage you just to share that with a brother or sister. Because it's when that happens that you see the threads of what God's doing coming together. So for me, this week in particular, all the little threads that have been fed into my life of people sharing things with me through the week, God's just been hitting me this morning. Every time a song is sung, it's like, whoa, okay, confirmation. Or every time someone speaks a word, it's like, oh, yeah, God, you talked to me about that through the week, and it just about floors me. So I would encourage you to do that to each other. To share with each other the things that the scriptures, or if you get a dream or anything like that that God's giving you, share it with someone. Because it's not just for you, it's to bless the whole house. And that's where we're a body together. I'm going to pray for myself, actually, Father God. I just pray, Lord, that the words I speak today just put my thoughts into clarity and help them hit the target this morning, Father God. And Lord, I pray for each one of us that our ears would be so open to you and break down every wall of resistance right now in the name of Jesus and be glorified in this place this morning, Lord. Amen. It was about 3 weeks ago, I think now, I can hardly believe it, that we had our week of prayer and worship here in this place, and Jason had called that the church would be open for the week Monday to Friday, and we'd open at 9 and finish at about 3:30 in the afternoon. And it was really exciting. It was a great week, but not knowing what to expect. I didn't know what to expect that week. I didn't think anyone really knew what God was going to do, except that it was going to be an important week, and I wanted to be part of that. And so we arrived here on Monday morning at 9 o'clock, and, you know, there was a long week ahead, was what I was thinking. You know, God takes time to build these things. There's a long week ahead. And so at 9 o'clock in the morning, there were a few of us here. I don't know, Pam was here and Jason was here, and there was a few others here. So as we started that worship and the word came that was given to me, the word was, this one particular word, because there was actually a few, but the one I want to talk about this morning was that as I walked in the building that morning, the word was that there was a veil on me, that I was wearing a veil. I can do this without crying. I can do it. And that the Lord wanted to take that veil off me, and it was a veil of mourning. And, of course, I immediately, in my brain, went to the fact that I was still mourning Charlie, that I was mourning the death of my husband. For those of you who don't know me, that was only 6 months ago. And that was quite significant in my life. And I thought, okay, well, that's it. That's what God's talking about. He's talking about that veil of mourning. And thank you, God, that you want to do something about that. So God really ministered to me in that moment. But I actually believe, and as the week went on, I learned that it was so much more than that. It was so much more than that. And I had a notebook with me during that week that I was just writing down scriptures that God given me or a song that we sang or something. And, you know, the week was very powerful for anyone who was here that week. And I just want to say about that, it's not too late. You didn't miss out because God's still doing it right now. But it was on Friday afternoon, late Friday afternoon, I think it was about 20 past three, that I actually grabbed a beanbag and I went and sat over there in a beanbag next to the heater, and I got out my notebook and I was just reflecting on the week and the things that God had said and done, and I was still, you know, this veil of mourning was still on my mind and what that looked like for me. And I want to say just randomly, but you know there's nothing random about God. Everything has a plan, everything has a purpose. And he led me to Psalm 30. So I want us to read Psalm 30 together this morning. If you've got your Bible, I'm reading out of the New Living Translation. And Psalm 30 was written by King David for the dedication of the temple. That's actually in the heading in your Bible. It says, a Psalm of David, a song for the dedication of the temple. And, you know, David's recalling, I think, as he's writing this song, some really significant things that have happened in his life, some things that have been really difficult and really hard that he's carried with him. And he writes this song as for the dedication of the temple. And it says this, I will exalt you, Lord, for you have rescued me. You refuse to let my enemies triumph over me. O Lord, my God, I cry to you for help and you restored my health. You brought me up from the grave, O Lord. You kept me from falling into the pit of death. Sing to the Lord, all you godly ones. Praise his holy name. For his anger lasts only a moment, but his favour lasts a lifetime. Weeping may last through the night, but joy comes with the morning. When I was prosperous, I said, nothing can stop me now. Your favour, O Lord, made me as secure as a mountain. Then you turned away from me and I was shattered. I cried out to you, O Lord. I begged the Lord for mercy, saying, what will you gain if I die? If I sink into the grave, can my dust praise you? Can it tell of your faithfulness? Hear me, O Lord, and have mercy on me. Help me, O Lord. Verse 11. You have turned my mourning into joyful dancing. You have taken away my clothes of mourning and clothed me with joy that I might sing praises to you and not be silent. O Lord, my God, I will give you thanks forever. And I really felt like the Lord had said to me, he spoke to me on Monday morning at about 9:05 and said, I want to take that veil of mourning away from you. And Friday afternoon, at the end of the week, I felt like he was saying, I'm taking away your clothes of mourning and I'm going to give you a spirit of joy. I think it was about 2 weeks ago in church, I don't know, time is, please forgive me if I'm getting the time wrong. You need to be here every week and you need to get in that river because it's happening. I think it was about 2 weeks ago in church that Jason asked us to close our eyes and ask God to show us how he sees us. Do you remember that? You know, to close your eyes and ask God, God, how do you see me? So I obediently closed my eyes and asked the Lord, well, God, how do you see me? And I was trying to find a picture of this so that I could show you what it looked like, but I couldn't find anything that did it justice. So please just use your imagination. I had a picture of myself standing in bright light in full battle dress. And I had to stop for a minute and say, are you sure, God? That's what I said to him, are you sure? And that's what I saw. I saw myself fully dressed for battle. And that's how he saw me. When I was first preparing this message for today, I thought the Lord wanted me to speak about being dressed in our armor. Because we all know that we're in a battle, right? We all know it. We're on the front line. It's a powerful image, being dressed in armor. And that was really good for my soul and for my spirit to be reminded of that. And I thought that that's what I needed to speak to you about today, because we've got an enemy out there who is rampaging. And we need to be dressed in our armor. But as the week progressed, I realized that's actually not the clothes that the Lord wanted me to talk about this morning. He wanted me to talk to you about our clothes of mourning that we all wear. And I think it's not just me that's been walking around wearing a veil of mourning. And I believe that there are others here today who've been wearing mourning clothes, and the Lord wants to make an exchange with you today. I've titled message this morning, a divine exchange. He wants to exchange your clothes of mourning for joy. Now, I know that when we hear the clothes of mourning, as I did, I automatically thought of death and what that looked like, because that's been very real in my life in the last little while. But I've realised as I was seeking the Lord this week that there's so many different clothes in that wardrobe, clothes of mourning. It can look like hurt. It can look like disappointment. It can look like grief, unforgiveness, bitterness, trauma, anger, sickness, financial burdens, worry, fear. They are all clothes of mourning that we've put on. And as I went through the week, God kept giving me a picture of myself again. And I believe it's for us as a body that we've got our armor on. You are fully dressed and you've got your battle armor on. But on top of that, you've layered that with clothes of mourning. The King James Bible says it this way. It says, "Thou hast put off my sackcloth and girded me with gladness." Sackcloth was a rough, loose garment made of goat's hair. And the texture's a bit like burlap, hessian. That's the word, hessian. Sackcloth, like hessian, was used to make coarse bags. And wearing such a cloth was a visual sign of mourning, the uncomfortable reminder of the tragic event that's happened. Much as fasting produces a persistent hunger, keeping the person's mind on the reason for that fast. When you wore sackcloth, every time you moved, you felt it. It was coarse and it was hard and you could feel it rub against your skin. And when we walk around dressed in sackcloth, it's a constant reminder of a tragic event that's happened in our life that's caused us hurt and pain in the first place. So when we walk around with unforgiveness in our heart, and every time we see someone that's hurt us, we feel it scratch us. We feel it scrape on our spirit and on our soul. And it's a constant reminder of the tragic event that happened in the first place to make us put on that. When we wear fear, like we wear mourning clothes, every time we walk around in fear, it scratches against us and it causes us pain and it reminds us what we've been fearful, the tragic event that made us fearful in the first place. When we put on the mourning clothes of worry, every time we try to go to sleep, we can't. Because it's scratching against our spirit and against our soul. And God wants to say to you today, church, He wants to make a divine exchange with you. He wants to take your mourning clothes and replace that with joy. I've gone all over the place. You know, the last few years have been really hard, and not just for me, for all of us in so many different ways. I know there's been some great things that have happened in the last few years. Children have been born and we've celebrated certain things, but boy, we've had some hard times too. I think if I took the microphone around this room, you could all list some really hard places you've been in the last few years. Fear has been amplified in our world. We've been separated from each other and isolated. We've lost people. This church in the last 3 years has lost over eight people, has lost eight people that I can think off the top of my head from our church, and that's not just our, through death. We lost our pastor. And I know that God has seen us through that season, and I thank God for Bruce and Lynn who came and walked with us through that season. But there's been a grief there for us. And I believe that God is doing something so significant in the life of our church right now. And He wants us to realize, and He just wants us to look and say, have you been wearing mourning clothes? That He wants to make an exchange for this morning. Because the good news is, there is some good news in here. God is working. God is moving. God is working in the lives of people. He's working. I can see it in you. He's working in my life, and there is something significant happening. And he wants us to press through, church. He wants us to push on. There's a song by Wren Collective that's called All That I Am. I don't know if any of you know that song. I'm actually going to get the lyrics. There's a few things here. There's a few words here that I have. I actually want to remind you of a word that was spoken in the house last week. And I'm just going to read this out to you because this got, you know, we should remember these things. And if anyone ever wants a copy of the words, they're recorded every week and they're typed out. But this was a word. And it's the word said this: God showed me a picture, maybe for someone in particular or for the church. He showed me the 12 apostles, the rock formations coming up out of the water and the water rising. There is like one person sitting on top of the rock and they're feeling scared, they're feeling worried. What do I choose to do as the water is rising? And over the last few weeks at church, we've been talking about jumping into the river. Someone might be asking, what does that really mean to jump into the river? It's taking a step of faith off the rock, because the rock that is that's become your comfort. It's what you've known God to be, but he's saying, I've got so much more for you if you just take that step into the water. You don't realize how he's been working behind the scenes. I see a picture of a giant God-like hand coming up under the water to hold you. You can't see that, but he's there just waiting for you to take that step of faith. And I feel like that's what he's saying to us again today, church. He's waiting for you to take that step of faith this morning. To take off those things that feel comfortable. Sometimes we feel comfort in those morning clothes. And he's saying, if you could only know what it is that I have for you to replace that with. The Wren Collective song says this: take every treasure, take this life. Everything's on the altar now. How many times have we heard the word surrender in church this morning? Total to surrender. And we like to think, yes, Lord, I'll surrender all my problems to you. That's easy. I'll surrender all that to you. But we don't, what about the fear? What about the grief that we've been carrying? What about the anxiety that we've been carrying? What about the worry? What about the loneliness? The isolation that you've been carrying, he wants you to surrender all of that. Take every treasure, take this life. All that I am for all that you are, Lord. All that I have for all that you are. You're the pearl beyond price, greater than life. All that I am for all that you are. Selfish ambition and my pride, I'm giving up. I'm letting die. In these empty hands, I have it all. The pure joy of knowing you, my Lord. It's only in surrender that I'm free. I'm free indeed. All that I am for all that you are. Do you realize what that means? Why do we want to hang on to our fear and our loneliness and our hurt and our pain? Why do we choose to hang on to that when he says, you know what? You give me that and I'm going to give you love. I'm going to give you joy. I'm going to give you peace. That looks much better on you. I'm going to give you patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. All that I am, all my hurt and all my pain and all my ambition and all my pride, all those things are in me. Why would I want to hang on to those when I can exchange it for something that looks like that? And I believe that we are, that wave, the wave's been building for a long time. And we don't want to miss it, church. And we can resist the Holy Spirit. One of the words that came really quickly, and I think it's written on the board there, don't resist, that came during that week. We can resist the Holy Spirit, and you can sit here right now and think, that's not for me, or that's just, I'm not quite sure what's going on. That's part of the surrender too. Surrender to that. Surrender to the Holy Spirit. We've heard during the last few weeks the Lord say to us, that new wine can't be held in old wineskins, and that the Holy Spirit today wants to co-labor with us. And you know what, church, I believe he's saying to us, well, you better change your wardrobe. Our armor is on. I know you people. I know you. We've done church life together for a long time and I know you're battle ready. But I see that picture of us, our armor's on, but on top of that we've added layers. And the Lord wants to remove those layers today, is what I feel. And he wants to replace that with joy. You know what? It's okay. I think we forgot that it's okay to be happy. It's okay to smile. It's okay to laugh. It's okay to rejoice in the Lord. It's okay. Doesn't mean you're less spiritual. It actually means you're doing exactly what the Lord said. You're replacing all that heaviness for his joy. The joy of the Lord that's your strength. I believe that the Lord wants to do something significant this morning, and I'm going to hand over to Jason now because I don't want to say any more about that. I'm just going to let him do that. But I believe that the Lord is speaking to us this morning, and I believe he's speaking to each one of us. And this is a significant time in our church life. So be open to that. Be open to what the Holy Spirit's saying this morning.
Thanks, Karen. Anyone resonating with it? The reality is you as I'm going to invite Doug to come up. For those of you who haven't met Doug, Doug's got a powerful prophetic gifting. And I love this guy. I walk pretty closely alongside him. And God's shown him some things that he wants to release over us this morning. But the reality is, I know I've only been here a part of this community for the last three or so. It's actually nearly 5 months now, isn't it? It's gone very quick. But the thing that keeps on coming back to me over and over again is there is grief around, the loss of David and those things. There is a deep grief. And it's real and it's tangible. And it's okay, but God is wanting to do an exchange today. We don't forget, we honor him, we honor the past, we honor people who have gone before. But there is grief in the unmet prophetic things, things that have been declared. So we hear all these prophetic declarations, we hear all these things, and then all of a sudden that person's not there anymore. It's like, what the? What? Where's God in that? And there is opportunities for us to get really offended at God because you didn't come through. And if you've never been in that place, you're probably doing a whole heap better in your spiritual walk than I am because I've been there. And even though some of you are maybe new to this community, there is grief that has been attached to my journey that has been painful. There is grief of loved ones that are no longer with us. There is grief of friendships that are no longer strong as what they were. There is grief over maybe my capacity isn't like it was. There is all of these things that we need to be willing to acknowledge. Now, as Karen has already mentioned, today is an opportunity for an exchange. Is it going to be a complete exchange where we walk out of here feeling like we're on top of the world and all those sort of things? I hope so for a lot of you. Some of it might be that you need to go on a bit of a process. God's got a process. So I'm not sitting here predicting what God is going to do, but I want to invite every single one of you to participate. Because if you've got through the last 3 years without any pain, any hardship or any stuff, you must be something supernatural. Let's be honest. But you know what? I want to be victorious in my circumstances. I want to be able to praise him in the storm. I want to be able to go, God, you are who you say you are, and you will walk through the fire just as you did with the three guys in Daniel, which is, I know one of them's a Bendigo, and the others have gone off Shadrach, Meshach, and Bendigo. Gee, that's bad, isn't it? And you forget those guys' names. But what is it? God didn't come in and go, whick, out of the fire. He walked in there with them, and guess what? You came out the other side and you weren't burnt. Or smell. So there's prophetic words of this new season that we're coming into. Although it might be dark out in the world, that God's protection is around every single one of you, and you'll walk through this and you won't actually be burnt. You won't actually be impacted because we're victorious in Christ. And that in itself will draw many, many, many people. And I'm going to stop preaching now because you don't need another sermon. Other than my encouragement to every single one of you is you're all included in this. And I'm not sure what it's going to look like at the end, but there will be an invitation for a response to come forward and pray. And at that point, I'll hand over to you.
Thank you, Jason. Morning, everyone. I feel, obviously, there's a very strong message coming through this morning. And to those who choose to, I believe that God is extending an invitation to you today. He wants to make an exchange, and I believe he wants to break off several things that several have been spoken this morning, but off the house, the culture, and off people's lives in kind of contextually, I saw kind of like in your history, in your timeline as a church. I feel like God today specifically showed me he wants to break off grief, trauma, and deferred hope in people's hearts. I believe he wants those past experiences and events that have shaped some of you today, he wants to exchange those things for what should be there. And I believe that as you make that exchange, that's going to begin what is going to bring those seeds of germination of those words spoken over this house. The scripture that God gave me in that thing was from Job 11, 13 to 19. And the heading at the top of it is reach out to God. And it is still, if you set your heart on God and reach out to him, if you scrub your hands of sin and refuse to entertain evil, you will be able to face the world unashamed and keep a firm grip on life, guiltless and fearless. You'll forget your troubles and they will be like old faded photographs. This world will be washed in sunshine, every shadow disappeared by the dawn, full of hope, confident once again to take on the battle. You look around, sit back and take it easy, expansive without a care in the world, and you'll be hunted down for your many blessings. Sounds like a good exchange to me. So basically, if I could have Pam, if that's okay, would you mind playing on the keys, if that's okay? So I'm just... Yeah, I felt like God just said, if that's what you want to do this morning, then just line up the front and we'll just go through a little prayer that I felt that he wanted me to pray, and we'll go from there. So whoever wants to make an exchange, come forward.
Holy Spirit, by your consuming fire, will you take this offering today, that as we've handed over things to you, will your Spirit come and consume those things and replace it with a divine gift from heaven above. You give good gifts to your children, and we are your children. Where there is deferred hope, we declare hope. Where there is grief, we take the promise of your word that you're going to take the mourning and turn it into dancing. Our mourning into joy. And we ask, Father, that if there is anything from an organizational point of view over this church Will you remove the banner of grief and trauma and pain and unmet expectations, and where there has been a ceiling where we haven't been able to break through to experience your promises? Will you break through in the name of Jesus? Because, Father, we do not want anything else other than your plan and purpose in this place for your people here in Monbog. Where there has been any attack on the mind, where the enemy had any entry point, Father, where we have become knowledge-based Christians instead of faith-based, spirit-filled Christians, we ask, Father, right now, by your Holy Spirit, will you take that off? Will you remove that so we can be led by your Spirit, and your Spirit transforms us, body, spirit, and mind, and our mind be bound to the mind of Christ and his purposes for our lives individually and corporately.
The Lord just showed me that there's a scripture that says, deferred hope maketh the heart sick. And I believe that people who are making this exchange, if you've had heart problems, that God will deal with those.
Yes, Jesus, we declare that now.
And sometimes we need to do a prophetic act that goes along with what's happening. We can imagine what's happening when we give over something, but I feel like he wants us today to just picture a box in front of you and place all those things in that you don't need anymore, because he's bringing in that healing. Just put it into the box and give it over to him. Thank you. He has so much more for you. So much more. And I hear him saying quite clearly, I am ready, willing, and able. Are you? And all we need to do is say, yes, I'm here. I'm ready, willing, and able. Thank you, Lord. You can do all.
As I stood there, God reminded me of something. He reminded me of the river of life you spoke about. And that is the river of life. Get it? It's Jesus' life. And as I used to minister to people, I would see this river and I would see Jesus. And so I went down into the river and he gave me this great joy as I stood there. So I believe in, you need to do it too. See yourself, see the river of life, because the river of life is right before you. It's right before each and every one of you. And Jesus wants you to go into the river of life and to be cleansed from all that grief, that pain, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Amen. Little, and I want to actually play a song, and that's the song that that Karen referred to, and I feel like we just need to do it and we need to actually loosen up and allow it, because God, when God comes and does heart surgery, yeah, he reveals things to us and there's times where there's a bit of that, but it's also, he says, it's quick and it's easy. His sword is like a two-edged sword. Poof, it's just done. And so we just declare right now, Father, that you have done and are doing a mighty thing in the hearts of your people in this place, and the divine exchange has happened. And if God gives you anything else during the week, going, oh, I'm carrying this, or I'm carrying that, or I'm feeling that, put it in the box, give it to Him. It's a constant thing of just being able to give ourselves over to Him and fresh surrender every single day to the love of the Father. And Father, I just pray that even right now for a fresh revelation of how much You love us, how much You adore us, how much You want the very, very best for our lives. And even though for some of us our circumstances may not resemble that, You are working and You're putting all things right. So we just choose now just to go, God, we want that divine exchange. Thank You, Father, for what You've done this morning. We ask for a fresh infilling of Your Spirit in those places where we've handed things over and that were blocking us from being able to receive that. We just release that now in the name of Jesus. Fill us afresh, Father, all of us. And Father, may the things that we've been carrying be turned into joy and dancing this morning. In Jesus' name. Thanks, guys.